Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
All right, it's D-Mac with Nate Jackson. The Rockies leading the Marlins 6-2. And the bottom of the ninth was Saquon on the mound to close things out. Nate's used to date like a Korean, like the Madonna of Korea.
Oh.
Like in Korea, he's a, you know, right, exactly.
Good pitcher.
Real good pitcher. And nice contributor for the Rockies last year. And glad he's on the team this year. And hopefully he can close things out. Three more outs and the Rockies 1-0 on the season. 1-0.
It's a good start.
By the way, there is something that we could use your help with at 303-713-1043. We need to confirm something that's kind of goofy. So we got the game on here. Now we keep the volume down and there's like, what do they call that? The
closed caption.
Yeah, the closed caption. That's working.
Yeah.
So the closed caption, I'm going to assume, has to come from some sort of voice signal.
Yeah.
We don't know if this is just in our building or this is happening. We can't hear any actual audio of the play-by-play. We can hear the feel. Now, see, it's in mono. You know what it is? I bet it's on two different signals, because when you just potted it up, Kyle, I only heard it in one ear.
Yeah.
So my guess is that there's something going on just in our area where the play-by-play is being split in two, and we're only hearing one side of it. Yeah, it's only one ear. Can you hear that? I mean, everybody in their car who has stereo can hear it. Turn it up a little bit. See? Everybody, that's in your left speaker only. You realize
there's
that's
a
not
little bit in there, right?
Not much.
No.
So, just let's take a caller who somehow is this is a weird combination. But you're listening to us right now, and you're watching the game.
Yeah. Good luck.
We just need one person to confirm that there's actually play-by-play, and it's not just goofiness on our end. I'm guessing it's goofiness on our end. I'm guessing they're not doing an entire game right now without the play-by-play working. Wouldn't that be something? So, little favor, 303-713-1043. Just confirm, hey, it's you guys. My TV's working just fine. I can hear Drew Goodman and the gang, and they sound awesome. If not, that's pretty quirky that they would do like a, you know, three-hour baseball game, and there'd be no, like, play-by-play. But yet there would be, you know, the graphics coming out. I do love the Rockies, Nate. I'm not going to lie.
Looking good.
What did you like about the Rockies while you were here as a ball player, football player? What did you like about that team and being having a major league team around?
What I liked was that the city of Denver and the way the downtown is configured with all the stadiums and arenas, they're all really close together.
Yeah.
And you don't find that in any other professional city. They're always in these weird industrial areas or something like that. But here in Denver, it's all jam-packed together, and the Rockies Stadium is just a beautiful stadium. And the Rockies players were always really nice to us. Sometimes, you know, there could be tension between the different teams if you see each other out.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone wants to be the big dog, you know?
No kidding, really?
But there wasn't that, is what I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
And the Rockies were super cool to us. Sometimes, one incident in particular. At Spill. Do you remember the bar Spill?
Of course. Brad was the owner. I knew Brad pretty well.
Yeah. I know Brad too.
Okay. Yeah.
So we would be there all the time. All the time. And upstairs is where, like, you know, you can go if you're kind of VIP.
They had a cool kids area.
The cool kids area was one night occupied by all the Rockies. There was one of them had their birthday party going on up there. And we stumbled up there, and they were super nice to us. They pulled us in, and we're like, yeah, come party with us, you know? And they were not standoffish at all, sharing the abundance of the fruits of our labor. And
was this the Jason Giambi era? Was he on the team then?
I don't think so.
I might have seen Giambi once or twice at Spill.
Oh, really?
Perhaps. Let's do some investigation. Carlos, hey, you're on the Fan. What do you got, pal?
Well, you guys just did your play-by-play over there, and I didn't hear the play-by-play for the Rockies game. All I hear was the background of the stadium.
Look at that. So you can't hear it on your TV either, huh?
I can't hear you on the radio.
Oh, yeah. No. Of course he couldn't hear it on the radio, because...
All I can hear is you guys.
Right. You have to hear it on your TV, not our broadcast of the TV.
That's a tough ask, though.
I know. It's almost impossible.
Right.
Pat, you're on the Fan. What's going on, Pat?
Not much. How you doing, D-Mac?
You realize how frustrating that... Okay. I'm doing all right, Pat. Can you hear the game on your TV?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm at home right now. I have you guys on the radio, and the announcers are on. It's Jeff Houston.
It's just Philly. Us. It's us. It's our problem.
Yeah, definitely. Normal. Normal as can be.
Right. Thank you.
I can let you hear it right now if you want.
No, I don't know if that's even legal. But actually, the Rockies just won, so it's over. So, go ahead. Turn it on right now so we can hear their post-game thing. Just turn it up.
Okay.
Walking over to his TV. He's getting the remote.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, just turn it up, dude. All right. Okay, we got it. I don't really got it, but... So this is us, guys. Kyle, this is our problem. This is our... You know, we just had these TVs and the audio kind of put in, but... So for the past couple hours, us here at the Fan, let's pat ourselves on the back for this moment. We've just been assuming that AT&T Sportsnet has not been broadcasting the actual game with audio play-by-play. They have been, but we've just been sitting around like, this is crazy. No, it's our problem. It's our fault.
Ruh-roh.
Right. Rockies start... 1-0 on the season. They win 6-3. O gave up a home run in the bottom of the ninth. There are a couple of solo shots off our relievers. Kyle Freeland pitched great. So, good job, Rockies. Everybody loves it when the Rockies start off successful. Everybody. You know what's funny is... In the end, it seems to be a lot of emphasis on opening day, right, for baseball. It seems to be like a big deal. It doesn't feel like that way in the NFL, does it?
Sort of. No, but they don't call it opening day.
It just feels like every game is the most important game of all time.
Yeah, it was only 16 of them.
Right,
But they have made efforts to kind of make that first game more important. They moved it up to Thursday, and they make a big deal about it. They do a lot of bells and whistles and flyovers and, you know, Carrie Underwood singing songs.
Does it feel different on the first game of the year compared to the second game of the year?
Sure.
Why? What is it about it?
Well, because it's the first. I mean, you've been doing preseason games. You've been doing offseason. You've been doing mini camp, training camp. You had cuts along the way. And finally, the room is 53 guys instead of 80 or 75. And you got your team, and now you're getting paid for real, and now the stadium's full, and now it's on national TV, and now all your friends at home are watching, and now your family's flown out to go to that game.
But they don't do that all stuff for the second game of the year?
No, not as much.
Really?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. They're all important, but
right.
No, but for, as a player, you're excited for that first game because it marks a shift in the process of the season. Because all the way up until that first week, you're just trying to make the team. At least I was, and most of the guys are. So it's this whole other journey. And so when the team is finally set, the room thins out a lot. There's a lot of empty chairs. We here in Denver had a party at Coach's house to signify the beginning of the season. And so it was a shift to a new journey, and that's the regular season. And so we have to win this first game to get this thing started off right. And it is so important. It's 16 of them.
Yeah.
So you lose that first one, and let's say you lose the second one. Well, all of a sudden, you're in a hole. So that first one's really important. Plus, the coaches sometimes, and this can be a problem, have so long to prepare for that first game.
Right.
That they end up throwing everything at you, and the game plan becomes too complicated. Because, yeah, you've been playing preseason games, but they've been looking at game week one. They've been game planning for week one. And it can be a bit much. So it's up to the coaches to practice a little bit of restraint there and not fire all their guns at once.
Right.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but
you know, I figure like the easiest game to win of the year is first game of the year.
Why?
Because you got the most time to prepare.
Well, so does the other team.
Yeah, I guess. So maybe host. Well, here's what I've kind of discovered though in the NFL though, Nate, is the first 2 weeks, because preseason is such a joke, and you really don't need 4 preseason games. And the way I know that is because we've studied how much plays the starters actually get. And the starters get the equivalent of a game.
Yeah, about, what, 50 plays?
Yep. You just count them all up after all the preseason, the starters ultimately get, like, a game.
Yeah.
So it's not even the broadcasters or people like me telling you they don't need the games. It's the coaches. The coaches are telling you, I only need this amount of preseason for most of the guys on my team.
They want to keep them fresh. They don't want to get them hurt.
Right.
But you do see these guys who are not, now that you can't hit as much during the offseason, that the practice, you can't do double days anymore. The guys are a little rusty. They're not really ready for that game action on week one. So it's depending on the team, depending on the coaching philosophy, sometimes these guys are not quite ready to play on week one.
Right. And so what you actually have in weeks one and two is preseason, kind of. I mean, the games count, for sure. But you are a fool to make any judgments about any teams based on just the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because things change so dramatically. And, of course, the more tape that coaches get on teams, the more the more prepared they are to play against you.
Right. And the quarterback missed, right, we talk about, there's the same preseason missed going on.
Yeah.
The game plans are really, really basic, really, really simple. And the stuff they want to do week one, week two, they don't even touch it in preseason. So it's hard to get an idea of what people are going to do. You really don't see any awesome games in week one either.
Well, you think you're seeing something. It's kind of like a mirage the first couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, because you're just ready for some football.
Yeah, and I think home teams inevitably have a little bit more of an advantage there. But it all kind of evens out. So when the Broncos started off, you know, the Broncos started off 2-0 with Vance Joseph. Everybody was all excited. 2-0.
6-0 with McDaniels. Remember that?
6-0 with McDaniels. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. That really ate me up.
Why?
I don't know. I just, you know, when you get cut, you don't want to see him succeed. That's just honest.
That's awesome.
It's really hard. It's hard to say.
Even though you're buddies with everybody?
Yeah.
You're still was like,
A little piece of me enjoyed watching him fail.
So 6-0. Do you remember what they did at 6-0? Do you remember what happened at 6-0?
No.
They cut somebody.
Oh.
Do you remember who they cut?
Mm-mm.
Brett Kern, the punter.
See, that was the fatal mistake. Is he still playing?
Still playing.
Brett, man,
was a Pro Bowl punter this past year. Has had a lengthy career as a punter for Tennessee.
Yeah. Wow. Good for Brett.
Awesome for Brett.
Another good guy.
Great guy. One of the craziest Broncos cuts of all time. You're 6-0, and you cut the punter.
It's a statement, man. Nobody's safe.
They brought in Mitch Berger, who used to punt at CU and was kind of an older guy at the time, and he was terrible. He was awful. Still to this, if I ever, you know, I've never really asked Josh McDaniels about it. I'd be dying to know the story, but like, why in the world did you cut Brett Kern? Talk about the ultimate in-your-face moment. He goes on to have a 10-year career with one team as a Pro Bowl quality punter for another team, and you cut him.
I mean, McDaniel's made a lot of weird moves.
Like what? Such as?
Tebow, I guess.
Why was that a weird move?
Oh, it was unexpected. It was a bit unorthodox. I don't think anybody saw that one coming.
The draft pick?
Yeah. So high. I don't think anybody was planning on drafting him quite so high. I don't think anybody was so high on him. He like paid off.
That's a good question, because I just, you know, I was definitely here at the Fan, but I don't recall where like the projections and the mocks really had Tebow at the time.
They're just tearing him up. I mean, he can't throw. People were working on him with his throwing motion.
Yeah.
That's a really tough thing. When you're a quarterback and you're coming out in the draft and they're trying to teach you how to throw.
Yeah.
You're a quarterback. That's what you do.
Right.
So there's problems there because, well, I don't know. I mean, it's too late to teach you how to throw if you're preparing for the NFL draft. But the technical
part... You know what's funny about that draft, though? He wasn't the only first-round pick.
Who else?
Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, yeah. That's a good pick.
And they had back-to-back years of having two first-round picks. They had the previous draft was Robert Ayers and Oshawn Moreno.
Mm.
And then you got... It's a fascinating question. Then you had Demaryius Thomas and Tim Tebow. So hold on a second, though. Why was it a bad pick?
Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't pan out.
Didn't it?
A couple years it did, but...
Did it not? So the next year, this was interesting, because you get Kyle Orton. And the one guy that you would think has the most faith in Tim Tebow is Josh McDaniels, and even he kind of refused to play Tim Tebow. But things went, you know, down the dumpster. And a 6-0 team, I believe, Nate, it was the first time in NFL history. Gosh, if it wasn't the first time, it was one of the only times. A team started 6-0 and didn't make the playoffs.
Total collapse.
I mean, you must have loved that, I suppose.
I didn't hate it.
Aha!
It's a weird thing with athletes. You know, you don't... It was hard. Whenever you're not on the field with your team, it's really hard to enjoy the victory. Even when I was not suiting up for a game, I was really happy that my friends won, for sure.
Right.
But for me, it was like also an empty feeling, because I wanted to be on that team with them out there. And when I wasn't, I felt like a failure.
Yeah, but like, oh, I understand that. But Tebow is fascinating because they moved up in the first round. It has some crazy similarities to what could happen this year.
Is there another Tebow out there? No.
Is there a guy that's getting a ton of hype, had massive success in college?
Kyler Murray.
Yep. You don't see that?
He's small. He's unorthodox as far as NFL prototypical quarterbacks.
Hey, Kyle, look this up. What was the completion percentage in college? Kyler Murray versus Tim Tebow. What other stat do you think would matter in college? Let's do completion percentage between two of them. And what else do you want?
Wins and losses, maybe?
Do you?
Of course.
I mean, Kyler's only out there for 1 year. Tebow won a national championship.
Yeah, true.
Forget about wins and losses. I mean, Tebow won the Heisman Trophy in a national championship.
Yardage, maybe?
All right. So let's look up completion percentage, Kyle, and yardage. Could Kyler Murray be Tim Tebow? But nobody really questions his throwing mechanics.
Nah, and he's a very different kind of athlete.
It's more like his size, and will that really translate to the NFL?
Yeah, it's a size issue, for sure. For Tim Tebow, it became his unorthodox style became too much for anybody to deal with. And his limited ability as a thrower really shrinks the playbook.
Yeah, but of all the quarterbacks out there, Drew Lock, no, big guy. Daniel Jones, nah, big guy. Looks like quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins looks like just a total NFL pocket passer sort of quarterback. I mean, these guys don't have that same hype.
Right.
No, it would be Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And the bust level on Kyler Murray, if he goes number one overall, all of a sudden you get to freaking epic proportion. You get to Jamarcus Russell. You get to RG3 land. You know, Tebow was still taken in the 20s and had a winning record as a starter and won a playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyler Murray, college career, 64.7 complete.
So Kyler Murray was at 64.7.
That includes Texas A&M.
What was Tebow?
66.4.
Tebow was 66.4. Tebow had a better completion percentage than Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray had a better one by one.
Oh, sorry. Kyler Murray had a better percentage. By how much? 1 point?
Yep.
So they had almost identical completion percentages in college.
What about yards per carry?
Yards per catch?
No, per carry.
Per carry?
Well, they're both running quarterbacks. They were both like this triple threat kind of guys, you know?
Does that matter?
Yeah. Kyler Murray's going to be running all over the field. That's what any team who brings him in is going to hope. Of course, they want to.
Well, I'm not going to argue that Kyler Murray's like a faster and a better runner than Tim Tebow.
No, but Tim Tebow ran a lot. He scored a lot of rushing touchdowns.
I think your comparison in general is pretty solid. That Kyler Murray and Tim Tebow are kind of the same guy. And I think the stakes are way higher on Kyler Murray if he goes number one overall.
Yeah. Who's that old Nebraska quarterback that went number one or whatever? He won the Heisman.
Oof.
Crouch, that's right. It didn't work out for Eric Crouch. But he couldn't really throw like Kyler can throw.
I mean, when you're talking first round bus, the 20s are loaded with them. Quarterbacks take it in the 20s. But man, how do you miss with the number one overall pick?
It happens.
Not often. Not that much.
RG3 didn't pan out. He's number two.
That's right, but that's number two.
Well, he could have easily been number one. Remember, it was one.
No, I mean, it was him or.
It's him or Luck.
Yeah, I mean, was there ever a point that people debated that?
Absolutely.
Come on.
There was, man.
That's ridiculous.
RG3 had a really, really, really awesome senior year, and he was the guy. He was this bright star rising, man. Everyone thought he was going to be they called him Black Jesus and everything. I don't know if you remember that.
What's your bet? Kyler Murray bust or is going to work out?
I don't think he'll be a bust. He's such a good athlete.
Was Tebow a bust?
No, I don't think he's a bust.
What was he?
I don't know how you describe it. How many years did he end up playing? Five.
So on the Broncos for two.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he didn't play five.
I don't think he did.
So in that regard,
he went to the Jets, and I don't think he ever played with the Jets, and then Patriots in camp, and then got cut.
Yeah, I mean, people try to turn him into a tight end or whatever. You can't do that.
He didn't want to do that.
Well, no, he shouldn't have wanted to, because if you've never run routes before, if you've never run down the field, you can't just start when you're in the NFL.
It's a confusing argument, because is he a bust? Well, he has a winning record as a starter and won a playoff game. And the reason why the Broncos moved away from him was because they got Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. which anybody would have done. And so when you determine a bust, is it based on your entire career or what you actually do for the team that selected you? So for the team that selected him, Tebow was pretty successful.
Yeah. But as a first-round draft pick quarterback, I think to be considered a success, you got to play more than 2 years.
It's a fun question. It's a fun debate.
Yeah.
It was never born.
No.
I always thank Timmy for being around.
Yeah, I mean, he was himself. He tried as hard as he could. He didn't. I mean, you can't blame him for anything.
Great news for the Rockies on opening day. A terrific start as they get the 6-3 win over the Marlins. Details coming up.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Rockies get a sweet 6-3 win over the Marlins today. And joining us, your second baseman, Ryan McMahon. It's DMAC with Nate Jackson. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
1-for-4 today with an RBI and a run starting the game at second base. How was your day?
Man, it was a good day, man. We came out swung pretty well early, you know, got the lead and then held on to it. So it was a good day at the park.
Ryan, you were voted the MVP of spring training. What did that mean for you?
That was cool, man. We have an Abby Greer Award, and you know, I learned a lot about her story and all that. The Rockies hold that award pretty high, so I was pretty honored to receive it.
I would say that's a good moment. It was that your parents in the picture? I was trying to tell who the other people were in the photo.
No, those were actually Abby's parents.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, they came down to hand the award out, so that was pretty cool.
All right, opening day when you're at a ballpark that has a sporadic amount of fans in it. What is that feeling down there? Because it's just so, so different than Coors Field.
Yeah, it is a lot different than Coors Field, but there's a lot of energy here today, and obviously all the guys were jacked up. We were really excited for opening day, and like I said, it was just good to come out here and play good. We kind of hushed the crowd kind of early with our play, so pretty excited and got the W, and you know, coming back tomorrow to do the same thing, hopefully.
And so what do you guys do now? You go back to the hotel and relax?
Yeah, we'll go grab some grub, watch some of these NCAA games going on, just hang out and crash early probably.
Our guest is Ryan McMahon. What is the plan at second base this year, Ryan? What have you been told? What should you expect?
I'm not told much, man. They came up with rule number one, which is be ready for anything. That's kind of the mantra for everybody in here. So I'm just, you know, when I get in there to play, I'm going to play hard. And, you know, when whoever else is in there, I'm going to be pulling for them and just hoping that second base is a big contributor for the Rockies this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Everybody knows, Ryan, they're going to move guys around. Okay, that's been very open, right? That's not a secret.
Right.
So I'm just curious how far in advance that works. Is it really literally just show up at the ballpark and we'll see? Or is there sort of a game plan 2 or 3 days in advance?
You know, maybe not 2 or 3 days in advance. Buddy's usually pretty good about letting us know the night before or something like that. But, you know, I'm sure there will be times where it's a last-second call where it is that show up to the ballpark and, hey, I'm in the lineup, let's get ready.
After being in Colorado and getting used to this climate, is it a different kind of feel playing down there in Florida?
Yeah, man, you start sweating as soon as you go outside here. It's brutal. Can't stand it. I miss Denver.
Yeah, but then you don't have to pee at all. That's how it was. I remember playing football down in Florida, and you know, here in Colorado.
That was your takeaway?
Yeah, man. You don't. I mean, you don't really sweat as much in Colorado as you do in Florida. And I just didn't have to pee. It was weird. I was just peeing through my pores.
I didn't see or hear a question in there.
I just asked him about the climate.
Okay,
know, so.
Ryan, what'd you see out of Kyle Freeland today? What were your impressions of Kyle?
Man, he was great. He was a bulldog out there. Got ahead of a lot of the guys. Wasn't pitching from behind. And when he gets ahead, he's pretty scary good. So he was out there. I thought he had his best stuff today.
All right, Ryan. Well, listen, we won't keep you. We appreciate your time. Congratulations. Great start to the season. And I know it's going to take a little time for you guys to get back here, but it won't look like that at Coors Field on opening day. I promise you that. That's for sure. So congratulations to you and the fellas, and we'll see you here soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Nice work, bud.
P?
Well, I'm just saying it was a noticeable change from, you know, you go down to sea level in that hot climate. And you, as an athlete, you always have, like, my P's were timed out.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
you realize there's a clubhouse right at the dugout. Like, every inning they can go and, you know, there's like a bathroom, like, literally right there.
Yeah, football's a little harder. You got to, you know, run back in.
What do you...
Or you can do it on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
You can. You got put a parka on. Or, like, you know, you take a knee behind the bench. You put a towel. There's some different ways you can do it. But the funny thing is to then place the cup back next to the Gatorades and see who picks it up.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
That is a joke,
no,
right?
I wouldn't do that, no.
Wow.
Nice guy, though, Ryan.
Yeah, it's a quirky situation this year because you go from DJ LeMahieu, who was just like, he's in the lineup, second base, just, I mean, years, you don't think about it. But we see this, unfortunately for the Rockies last year, you got to the playoffs against the Brewers and just everybody went cold. Everybody went cold. And even though the Rockies have been in the playoffs 2 years in a row, it is tricky that you're a playoff team, but you still have to tweak things, right? Like, yeah. You gotta, it's, you know, what's missing, what's that? And really, what was felt was missing is there was a approach that needs to change for the playoffs that you have to adjust during the season that's different than last year. Last year, it was just this system of, it was really one of the worst hitting years the Rockies have ever had, but their pitching was so good that it kind of bailed them out, and which is crazy to think like the Rockies pitching was what saved them, but that's the truth. But you look at a team like the Boston Red Sox, who won the World Series last year, and aside from Mookie Betts leading off, their lineup, Nate, was like kind of different every single night. Like, you just didn't really know where everybody was kind of moving all over the place. And, you know, there's some recurring patterns, but there were a lot of differences, too. And so the Rockies are taking an approach here in a few different positions where we're going to, you know, change things up a little bit. For example, Charlie Blackmon's playing right field, not center field. He's still leading off, but they're taking him out of that. Ian Desmond, who's been an infielder basically, you know, the vast majority of shortstop, and then last year a lot of first base, he's playing center field. McMahon, we'll see with McMahon where he actually ends up in the lineup and how often he gets out on the field. But you got a guy like Garrett Hampson, who's the fastest guy on the Rockies. We're probably going to mix him in as well. So you may see a system of, like, it just might be a different looking Rockies team at certain points. Like, I don't know about this lineup. We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't put any stock that just because it's this way now, that's the way it's going to stay.
It worked today.
Let's see what tomorrow brings. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I don't like Bradley, is it?
Is there something else you're searching for?
I don't know the song's called enough to sing it.
There you go. Keep going.
I don't know the song.
It's just mumbled in tune.
Bear myself along in for years.
And in the bad times I
forget.
All right, I'll take this part.
Yeah. Let me hear shake. Lady Gaga, man.
Yeah. Turn it up a little bit.
She really rocks this song, doesn't she?
Tell me something, boy.
Beautiful. That's the song. You're a songbird, man.
I am going to this long void. And I usually me or.
Oh, wow.
I got something out that is front door. Core. All right, forget it.
I love that part of the song where she really goes aggro, you know, it's like the bridge or whatever it is. It's really nice.
Happy birthday, Lady Gaga, 33.
Happy birthday. What's her real name?
Jen? I don't know what Lady Gaga's first real name
is. Erica or something.
Stephanie. No, I think it is Stephanie. You know what? I think it actually is Stephanie. Boy, somebody's going to owe me a quarter if her real name is Stephanie. I believe it is, though.
Do we have an answer?
Oh, we'll look it up.
You're correct.
Stephanie. It is Stephanie. By the way, just a little local high school, possibly baseball upset alert. And everybody's on the edge of their seat for this. Smoky Hill leads Mountain Vista 2-1.
Ooh.
In the bottom of the sixth with two outs.
And who scored that last run?
That would be Dylan McKee.
Hey-o!
My kid. Scored the go-ahead run.
Attaboy, Dylan.
So right now, Smoky Hills leading Mountain Vista with two outs in the bottom of the sixth. Nobody's on base. Woo!
Attaboy.
Mountain Vista won the state championship last year.
Wow.
Ranked number 4 overall in the state. Just beat Cherry Creek by 13 runs the other day. Smoky's got a 2-1 lead. Woo! Woo! Getting chills. Can they pull it out, Nate?
I think they can.
Can they get the 4 more outs? Will my kid make an error to lose the game at the end?
Come on.
What?
Don't put that in the air.
No, sorry.
Take it back.
Oh, our guy just gave up a single. Nervous. What do you think about high school at this point? When you go back and think about your high school athletic life, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot because it was when you could play multiple sports with your buddies. You're also going to class. It wasn't a lot of pressure.
What was the most fun playing football? The most fun.
I had an amazing time playing football in high school, but at Menlo College was the most fun I ever had playing football.
Why?
Because it was...
More fun than playing for the Denver Broncos.
More fun, yeah, because as a professional, it's not fun. You know, there are fun moments, but there are so many other moments that counteract that fun that are stressful and that are, you know, because in no uncertain terms, you're being told every day that if you don't perform today, you're gone. That part of it isn't.
How often are you literally told that?
Every day.
Every day?
You hear it every day.
You hear it every day.
Yeah, because there's someone always.
Why would coaches just dwell on that sort of negative vibe so often?
Well, because there's always one guy who's always, you know, hearing that. You know what I'm saying? They're not telling everyone that, but one guy is getting it. But at Menlo College, at D3 football, we all were there because we really wanted to just play football. Mm. And we all made it happen, made that sacrifice to go to that small school. And it was not a cheap school. And we were playing football with our buddies, and we were throwing the ball all the time. I caught over 100 balls in my junior and senior year, each of those years. One year, I caught 101. My buddy caught 80-something. My other buddy caught 70-something, and our tight end caught 50-something balls.
How was your rec? Were you killing teams?
We had a good season. We were 8-2.
Okay.
And our quarterback just had like 44 touchdowns that year. Averaged over 400 yards a game.
So why were you guys all there?
For different reasons. We all kind of like ended up there for our own personal reasons. We had a lot of Hawaiian guys on our team.
Okay.
So we had some really good Hawaiian players who had a connection to the school because of an admissions lady who was Hawaiian. We got some guys who didn't pan out at D1 schools, so they ended up there. And so we were a bunch of renegades, man, and we were just really enjoying it.
Has the school been successful since? Like, is that part of your legacy that you were part of something that has continued throughout the years?
The football program no longer exists.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Nah.
Why?
You know, it's really sad. It was kind of a coup orchestrated by the athletic director who came in, and he was a wrestling guy.
Okay.
And he wanted to build this into a wrestling school. And the football team got moved to... It's kind of a long story, but D3, you can't offer athletic scholarships.
Right, right.
And so he said, well, we want to offer athletic scholarships, so we're going to move to NAIA. So NAIA, you're allowed to offer scholarships. So they moved to NAIA. And then were allowed to offer scholarships, but then couldn't find any opponents because the only NAIA schools were across the country. And so now no one wants to come to Menlo College in California to play. And if we want to go across the country, it's going to be a huge budget to do that. And so people stopped coming and the program dwindled and then they just axed it. It was real sad.
Wow.
So I don't go back there anymore.
You're angry.
Oh, yeah. A lot of us felt pretty... blindsided by it. So, but the memories are great. I'm still friends with those guys.
That's a good story right there, by the way.
Yeah. And there's a lot
more. Maybe you should go back. Maybe you should take a group of guys back there.
We tried, man. There was a bunch of alumni who were trying to fight that ruling and bring back Menlo College football, you know. And
but then you just get on with your lives and you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It's their time.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like you're part of the legacy of the Denver Broncos?
Yeah.
You feel connected to them?
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially when I come back here and I see all the love, not for me, but for the team. But
so how's this week been for you?
It's been really fun. It's been great to reconnect with it, to be honest, and to tell these stories. I haven't told these stories in a long time.
Right.
I wrote a book about it, but, you know, I don't really get to talk about it. My wife doesn't want to hear me talk about all this stuff.
I love it. And I would guess the vast majority of our listeners are really enjoying it as well because it means so much to so many people here.
Thanks.
So
I know it's a different perspective, you know, but I've been having a good time, man. And I appreciate you coaxing these stories out of me.
Well, let's do it again tomorrow. And meanwhile, we will have NCAA basketball. Thank you, Kyle Berry. Thank you for listening. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.